Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, to taste the mellow quality of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs in her relationship with Krishna, and to understand the reservoir of pleasure in Krishna, Krishna Himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted the mood of Radharani. Purport. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, Sri Gaurasundara is Krishna Himself with the attitude of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never gave up the attitude of the gopis. He remained everlastingly predominated by Krishna and never accepted the part of the predominator by imitating conjugal love with an ordinary woman, as Sahajiyas generally do. He never placed himself in the position of a debauchee. Lusty materialists, like the members of the Sahajiya Sampradaya, hanker after women, even others' wives. But when they try to ascribe the responsibility for their lusty activities to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they become offenders to Swarup Damodar and Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Khand, chapter 15, it is said, Sabe para strira prati nahi parihasa, stri deka dure prabhu hayena eka pasha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never even joked with others' wives. As soon as he saw a woman coming, he would immediately give her ample room to pass without talking. He was extremely strict regarding the association of women. The Sahajiyas, however, pose as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although they indulge in lusty affairs with women. In his youth, Lord Chaitanya was very humorous with everyone, but he never joked with any woman, nor in this incarnation did he talk about women. The Gauranga Nagari party is null approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Vrindavan Das Thakur. Even though one may offer all kinds of prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should strictly avoid worshipping him as the Gauranga Nagara. The personal behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the verses written by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur have completely repudiated the lusty desires of the Gauranga Nagaris. Please repeat after me. To taste the mellow quality of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs in her relationship with Krishna, and to understand the reservoir of pleasure in Krishna, Krishna Himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted the mood of Radharani. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobish Tam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. So, this chapter is entitled Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. And this verse is explaining something of why Krishna came. It is a fact that in the material world, it is a place of exploitation. And you can't get around it. One of the reasons why the material world is a place of exploitation is because the living entities in the material world are dependent, needy. Okay? And at the same time, wherever you go, in whatever situation, there's a hierarchy. So you have some control. But there is always someone who has more control than you do. Okay? And that happens in two ways. People have an official position of control over you. But because we're limited, and other people are limited but in different ways, people know things that you don't know that's going to impound or impact on your life. Okay? So your boss may know that the company are making a cut in staff. Therefore, you're going to be made redundant. You're going to lose your job, right? Someone else knows that, you know, when a country has to make a change because they don't have enough money, then someone else's benefits are going to be cut. However it is, the living entities are dependent and there are different levels of control. Those two things by themselves are not the problem, but there's a third factor. You have someone in a position of control. You have someone who's dependent. And then the third factor is, whoever's in that position of control, they're needy. Okay? Think about that carefully. Someone has control over you. You're dependent upon them, and they're needy. Okay? They need something. They need something, and you have it. That's a recipe for disaster. Okay? Because if their need is greater than their concern for you, you're about to become exploited. You understand the point? So the formula in the material world is everyone in the material world is needy. And therefore, you have this, what passes for so-called relationship in the material world is really, let's mutually exploit each other. You're going to give me something, and in exchange, I'm going to give you something. And at some point, that relationship may break down, okay? So even when Prabhupada talks about even the so-called nice arrangement, what he's really talking about is extended false ego, extended exploitation. But Krishna's very different. Because our experience in the material world, it leaves a bad taste in the mouth. It leaves like an emotional scar. It's one of the fundamental reasons why people in the material world are reluctant to have relationship. And at the same time, it creates a tendency to want to be in that position. If there's anyone who's going to be in control, it should be us, right? You see that all the time. If anyone's going to be in control, if anyone's going to be in charge, if anyone's going to have all the power, it should be us. And the thing that becomes really subtle about it is that for the living entities, we project that same mentality onto God. We project that same mentality onto Krishna. And it is like an unconscious bias that for many of us, we don't even know that plays out in our mind. Okay. And that unconscious bias is something that we often don't even realize. Let's look at how this plays out. So within the material world, you will find that the people are constantly debating, does God exist? Does he not exist? Right? And behind that debate, there's an emotional attachment. Actually, most people, they don't want to believe in God. It's not a question of arguing the case. It's not like, you know, let's look at it rationally and logically. Let's pull our cards on the table. If you give me a better argument, I'll accept it. It's not like that. It's emotional. It's not intellectual. It's emotional. And it's very difficult, therefore, to get to the root of it. Because if we were honest, the first thing is, are you open to even discussing the issue? Or do you have an attachment to believing that he doesn't exist? And most people, if we were honest with ourselves and really looked inside, okay, let's be honest, I have an attachment to believing that he doesn't exist. Why? Why is it that we have an attachment to believing that God doesn't exist? It has a lot to do with what's going on in this verse. It has a lot to do with what's going on in this verse. The theology of Krishna consciousness is incredibly subtle. It's incredibly subtle. Our tradition, in our tradition, we do not accept that God is the highest. That is not our philosophy. In our philosophy, we consider that there is one thing that is superior to Krishna himself. There's one thing that is superior to the supreme personality of Godhead himself, and that is devotion to that person. And that devotion is eternally alive in the heart of the devotees. Is eternally alive in the heart of the devotees. So it is actually a theological fact that the position of servitor is transcendentally superior to the position of the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Transcendentally superior. In particular, it is a position that is transcendentally superior from the position of from the consideration of rasa. And Krishna knows this. Krishna knows this. He's very conscious that my devotees are drinking a certain type of nectar that I myself do not have. And that nectar is being described in this verse. What does it say? To taste the mellow quality of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs in her relationship with Krishna. So Krishna himself doesn't know what it's like to be on the receiving end of loving him. Right? That's the first point. To understand the reservoir of pleasure in Krishna. Right? So you have a dam, and when the dam opens up, all the water flows downstream, and there is someone waiting downstream who receives the full impact of that reservoir. Rasa Vaisa. Who receives the full impact of that reservoir of mellows that is Krishna? That is Srimati Radharani. To understand the reservoir of pleasure in Krishna, therefore Krishna himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted the mood of Radharani. So there are very many ways in which we can understand the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One way to understand is in the following. When Krishna descended in the mood of Srimati Radharani, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he's actually saying to the living entities is, you don't need to envy my position. Right? You don't need to envy my position. Because the theology of Vaishnavism has indicated that the supreme personality of Godhead himself has given the devotees a position that is eternally superior to his own. We're trying to take his position. He's saying, you've already got the superior position. The grass is not greener on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. The grass is not greener on the other side. So this is exactly speaking about why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has come. That envy is because we think that there is something to be gained by taking a different position. No, your position is eternally superior. The aim of this Krishna consciousness theology, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani. So the aim of this theology is to get the living entities to become comfortable in their position of superiority. Their position of superiority. The position of God is therefore a limited position. Right? If the Supreme Lord is omniscient, omnipotent, right? If he has this sense of knowing everything, that is a position of limitation, again from the point of view of Rasa. Right? So how many of you like surprises? Show of hands. Okay. So that's off the agenda immediately, right? You're omniscient, there's no surprises. No one surprises you. You know, it's your birthday. Someone gives you like a gift. It's packaged. Okay, I know what it is. It just doesn't work, right? So actually, from the point of view of Rasa, that point of being omniscient, that's a limiting position. Therefore, the theology is so perfect that the Lord himself is covered by his own yoga maya potency so he can experience the full range of spiritual emotions and experiences. Right? How complete is that theology? In this purport, it is talking about the attitude. Sri Gaurasunda is Krishna himself with the attitude of Srimati Radharani. Radha Bhava Dyuti Sulavalitam. It's not Krishna Bhava. It's not the mood of Krishna. It's the mood of Radharani. And as Prabhupada has explained in this purport, therefore he is in the mood of the servant who is to be enjoyed. Not the mood of the enjoyer. Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not in the mood of the enjoyer, but rather the servant who is always in this Vipralamba Seva, Vipralamba Bhav, this mood of separation from the Lord. Why? Because in that mood of separation, the intensity of the love becomes even stronger, deeper, more profound. All of these nuances of experience that are available when one is situated properly in the mood of a servant. Now, the Gauranga Nagaras are considered to be one of the groups of the Prakriti Sahajiyas. Okay? Sahaja means easy. Prakriti means material, materialistic. So there are various groups who proclaim themselves to be spiritualists, but without wanting to pay the price for genuine devotion. And there is a price. There is a price. In the material world, due to immaturity, there's this idea that you can get something for nothing. No one has ever got anything for nothing. Now, you may argue the point. You may say, no, I've seen people in the material world who got something for free, got some boon, you know, they won the lottery. You're wrong. No one has ever received anything for nothing. Either they paid the price in this life or they paid the price in a previous life. But no one gets anything for nothing. So that means yajna is actually an intimate feature of existence. You understand? Therefore, the power of an individual, the maturity of an individual, is that they have gained a taste for yajna. You understand the point? They've gained a taste. It's an inherent feature of reality. In fact, to be honest with you, if we understand the theology properly, it makes your life so easy. Because we're in denial, and that's where all our struggles come from in the material world. It comes from a sense of denial. Oh, I have to put some effort in. That's a flavor of the material existence. No one gets... You know, someone says, I don't like the president of the United States. I feel he's like this. But you know what? That billionaire, it's because he actually performed some yajna in a previous life. No one gains anything. So therefore, the ability to come to terms with the world as it is, the ability to stand on your own two feet in the world as it is intimately related to the ability to understand anything I want, I need to think about how to pay the price first. And it's because we don't accept that in material existence that it becomes another unconscious resistance when we come to spiritual. I'm trying so hard. Okay. They said the process would work. They said if I just chant, I would be happy. Okay. Right? They said the process was quick. Okay. It is quick. It is quick. You'll find nothing. You'll find no other process, even in this world, where you can go against it for billions of years, billions of lifetimes, and then in one lifetime get the full result. That's quick. It just requires us to see things in context. So this sense of yajna is there. And Krishna consciousness is a yajna. It is the Sankirtan yajna. But Prabhupada makes a very nice point. He says people will not be willing to make sacrifice unless they understand what is to be gained by it. Isn't that interesting? That is where the teaching comes in. Yajna has various flavors, right? When there's ignorance, yajna feels bitter. When there's ignorance of the prayojana, when you don't understand, why am I doing this? Why am I chanting my rounds? Why am I associating with the devotees? Why am I not criticizing the devotees? Why am I waking up early? Why am I doing all of this stuff? When you don't have a good answer, not a superficial answer, but something that's compelling and that has become rooted to your heart, then that yajna in the mode of ignorance feels painful. Huh? When you deeply understand it, that yajna in the mode of goodness or transcendence feels exhilarating. Huh? We take pleasure in the yajna. Just like some of you are parents. And there's a pleasure that's taken in making sacrifice for someone that you love and someone that you are constantly understanding loves you more than you love yourself. So Krishna consciousness has a flavor to the yajna. You understand? There's a flavor to the sacrifice. And that taste is determined by your understanding and realization. So not everyone is practicing Krishna consciousness in the same way. Our practice is different. How deeply do you understand what you are doing and how deeply do you understand why you are doing it? We have to see things in context. So what is that context? Let's consider in the material world, the body grows old. So some of you are young, some of you are older, but you know what? It doesn't actually matter. Your body is dying. It's growing old. Yeah? And with that, I remember being in Vrindavan and we went to the reception at the MVT. And there was one devotee there, like in an older body. And they were just talking about how much the body, they were just indicating the kind of difficulties that come with the body. And it's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. The body has a trajectory and usually the consciousness goes on the same trajectory. Right? You sometimes see these action movies, okay? The plane's about to crash, but the action hero jumps out of the plane and pulls the parachute. So what's happening is if the person doesn't jump out of the plane crashes, they crash. Right? Because they're in the plane. They've identified themselves with the plane. They're aligned. So whatever happens to the plane happens to them. What Krishna consciousness has done is given the individual the opportunity to get the parachute and to get out of the plane called the material body. Yeah. To get out of the plane called the material body. Because as that plane is going down, it's ripcord time, people. It's time to get out, pull the ripcord. Because what happens if you do that is that even if your body is growing older, even if your body is going through challenges, you are experiencing that from a higher state of consciousness. Do you understand? Right? Our experience is ultimately defined by consciousness. So every day in one sense is an emergency. Every day in one sense is an emergency because we don't know when we're going to leave. That's the first point. And therefore, in that context, what is this chanting? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the SOS of the soul. You understand that point? It's the SOS of the soul. It's an emergency, and we're constantly calling to the Lord, please take me back to this original state of consciousness, which is called Krishna consciousness. That trajectory to get out of the blazing fire of material existence and to get out with as little pain and difficulty as possible. That's our mission. That's one part of our mission. The second part of our mission is to raise the alarm on the way out. That's all it is. Get out yourself and raise the alarm to get as many people out with you from this blazing fire of material existence. But you know what? This is going back to this point about the Sahajas. I mean, imagine this for a cruel trick. Right? You go these. In many buildings, they'll have these signs for the fire exit. Now imagine being in a position where you were so close to getting out of the building that's on fire, but just as you're getting towards the fire exit, someone has put another exit sign, right? So they've deviated. You were so close to getting out, but someone's put another sign, a false indication that's deviated you from the fire exit. You could say, well, it's just a slight deviation. But that slight deviation is going to take you somewhere in the building and you're going to get trapped. That's the position of these asampradayas, right? These deviant philosophies, right? Even a subtle deviation can lead to a completely different outcome or destination. So this point, their idea is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the enjoyer, is in the mood of the enjoyer. No, Krishna is in the mood of the enjoyer. Their idea, for example, in the sense of this Gauranga Nagaris, they consider that Lord Chaitanya's second wife, Vishnupriya, they consider that she is Radharani. However, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he has clearly stated that Vishnupriya is of the Bhushakti. She's an incarnation of Lakshmi Dev. Right? The Gauranga Nagaris, they consider that the associates of Vishnupriya are gopis. No. Those associates, the service they do towards Vishnupriya is in the mood of the maidservants of Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha. Right? That's the proper understanding given by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So these deviations, and then it goes into the material. And this is also very interesting, as a point of existence. Every single one of us, we're acting on a philosophy. You understand? These deviant sects, because their philosophy is wrong, it then leads to wrong action. In other words, if you're... what is it? If your sambandha is wrong, right? If your understanding is wrong, then your abhideya becomes poisoned or polluted. Right? Your activity becomes wrong. And therefore, there's no way of reaching your prayojana. Right? There's no way of reaching prema. Prema pumata mahant. There's no way of going there. Because you've just been deviated by a philosophy that is out of touch with the truth. So where does it go into the material? Well, the actual philosophy itself is materially contaminated, and therefore they then become enjoyers, right? They then think that we are now in the mood that we are going to be the enjoyers, and therefore it leads to the engagement in illicit affairs. Out of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy, that's the impetus for his strictness. In this purple, it talks about him being strict, because he does everything possible to set the example. Everything possible. Out of his deep concern and his deep compassion. You see, as devotees, it gets confusing. Are the devotees in our line, are we strict, right? Are we conservative?
or are we liberal?
We're both. We're both. Prabhupada actually in one purport in First Canto Bhagavatam talks about the strict liberal devotee. What does that mean? It means 100% strict with yourself, 100% liberal towards other people. Yeah? And at the same time, encouraging of everyone to come up to a higher standard. Yeah? We're conservative and we're liberal. Yeah? The strength of the conservatives is at their standards. Right? It's just like if you're a good parent. If you don't have standards, you let your child do anything, eat anything, drink anything, your child is going to become a mess. Oh, but I love the child. I just wanted them to be free and to express themselves. Yeah, that's why your child's a mess. Right? That's the problem, right? So the strength of the conservatives is we do have standards. The strength of the liberals is that they are inviting for everyone to take a place, to come, to enjoy, to join. That sense of acceptance, right? That Prabhupada said, our Indian philosophy is open door, open heart. He said that. Open door, open heart. So the strength of the liberals is that everyone can come and partake of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That liberalism that is so intense and profound that actually we don't even care whether people are qualified for the mercy of the Lord. We don't care. Why don't we care? Because we're not qualified for the mercy of the Lord. The person who is the epitome of the mercy of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, she has said that everyone can come. Who has a position to go to conflict the statement of the topmost devotee who actually owns the Lord by her own bhakti, by her own devotion? I don't have that qualification. No one has that qualification. So because she has said that she is giving mercy to everyone, qualified, unqualified, therefore, that is the mood that permeates the Sankirtan Yajna. Extreme compassion. But there is an interface, right? It is compassion to also have standards, right? The compassion of the child, the compassion of the parents is to have standards that the child can fully grow, fully mature, and experience what is completely available to a mature individual. A mature individual, even in the material sense that applies, but particularly a mature individual who was mature enough and who is sincere enough to continually pay the price in order to receive a mercy that is superior to the effort that they've put in. You understand? Even though we're paying a price, what you're gaining for what you've paid is far superior. Right? That shortfall is still an act of grace. You understand the point? So even though we understand that there is endeavor, there is yajna, everything we've gained in Krishna consciousness is so much more than whatever we have endeavored to receive. Mercy permeates this movement. And that lack of being ready to even pay a small price, that lack of being ready to even pay a small endeavor to gain much, much more than your endeavor allows, that's what leads to this mentality, this Prakriti Sahajya mentality. So we want to go in completely the opposite direction. By the way, what time does class finish? 10 to 9. Okay. So we, as devotees, we want to go in completely the opposite direction. So back to this point. So, strictness. We want to have a taste for this sense of being strict. A loose mind then leads to loose practice. So the first place that the strictness falls down is internally. And then the externals are symptoms. Actually, to be honest, generally everything external that we do is a symptom or an expression of our mentality. everything. It's an expression of our mentality. So if you can fix something up internally, you really are moving forward in a very powerful way. You really are. Huh? So in our quality of hearing, in our quality of exchanges with the devotees, in the quality of our chanting, it's not something to become negative or down about, but try to fine-tune it internally. Try to fine-tune it. Try to internally cultivate the proper mood. It's just so interesting, this particular purport and the fundamental point that's being made. So it's talking about this mood, this attitude. Okay, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never gave up the attitude of the gopis. Attitude is everything. Because what can you offer God? Sometimes devotees think that we are going to bribe Krishna by scale. Okay, I did something big. Big according to whose perspective? Right. There is no such thing as big service from the perspective of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because everything is His in the first place. But this Bhava Rupa Bhakti, this mood is absolutely crucial. Just like you're in a relationship with someone, but they have the wrong mood, it poisons the entire relationship, isn't it? Right? Someone gives you something, but their mood is like, you should be grateful, look how much I've done for you. They've just ruined the exchange, right? Someone approaches you, they're saying, we should meet up, but their mood is that they want something. Isn't it? You've seen people, and it's just like, dude, just get to the point. What do you want? It's just kind of like, you know, it just spoils the entire mood. It's just fake. It's not genuine. They've got some ulterior motive. It just spoils everything. It's all about the mood. And Rupa Goswami says, what is it? Chaste Rupa Bhakti, Bhava Rupa Bhakti. So the Chaste Rupa Bhakti, the endeavor has to be there, right? The activity has to be there. It's not, oh, I've got a mood and you're sitting down at home in bed doing nothing. No. Chaste Rupa Bhakti, there has to be some activity, service. But what makes it devotional service is the proper mood. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karmada navritam anukulena krishna nushilanam bhakti uttama. Favorably, some activity, service, some activity favorably performed. Right? Favorably performed for who? For the pleasure of Krishna. Right? And devoid of what? Devoid of desires for karma and jnana. That's the formula, that's the mood. That's the mood. And you know what? What takes it to another level? Why does it have to be this unmotivated and uninterrupted service? Why? In order to satisfy the self. Isn't that interesting? In order to satisfy you. You. In order for yourself to be satisfied. I was discussing with some devotees recently. We were exploring this whole sense of identity and what goes on in the lives of millions of people in the world, and we also have a reflection of this in our devotee community. I remember hearing about when Robin Williams committed suicide, right? So he's a famous comedian. And it was a reflective point. You have an individual, okay? Now then this individual has now projected out into the world a particular image, right? Follow me on this. They've projected an image, you know, I'm this happy-go-lucky, I'm the comedian, I'm witty, I'm this and I'm that, you know, I've got this amazing life. They've projected this image out into the world. Then they have millions of adoring fans who absolutely adore the image. They have no contact with the individual because that image isn't them, right? The image has been projected, and it's been projected so well that everyone gives the image a round of applause. They pay money to go to events
to see the image on stage, right? They buy the image's books. They watch the image's films. They have nothing to do with the individual, but the image is very popular. The image is incredibly popular, and the individual gets nothing, right? So we may have a semblance of that in our own lives, right? There's where we really are, who I really am right now, and then will I project out into the world, yeah? So as devotees, one of the most powerful things that we can do for ourselves is to make sure that there's an integration. To make sure there's an integration between who I really am, where am I on this path right now, who am I really in this journey back home, back to Godhead? Huh? Who am I really? And to make sure that that's integrated, that I'm not projecting one thing, but I'm someone else. And what happens when we integrate that properly, then we have one identity. Right? We're not this split personality, right? Who says one thing, does something else. Says another thing, does something else. Because that creates a sense of incoherence within you. Yeah? It creates a sense of incoherence, a sense of pressure, a sense of emptiness. Because whatever the projection gets, the real self isn't getting that. So when we face off into the world based upon who we really are, right? When you act from a place of integrity, when we act from a place of integrity, then we start to feel a sense of fulfillment. And this takes place even materially, what to speak of spiritually, right? It takes place in both worlds. One simple technique for doing this, for integrating, for being authentic in the association of devotees, huh? Is to have the right attitude and to reveal one's mind, one's heart authentically in the association of mature and loving devotees. You understand? It is a fact that within our movement, there are many devotees who act one way in the devotional community and act a completely different way when they're away from the devotees. Let's be very honest about it, right? And this is not about shooting them down. We should feel compassion. What would cause a person to do that? One of the reasons is that they haven't fully integrated who they are, and we're not yet strong enough to stand with our integrity in the world. But what happens as a result then is that no one can really get to know you. It is an interesting point. I was discussing this with one devotee. When you bring your full self to every interaction, to be honest with you, you're incredibly interesting. Everyone, when they bring their full self in every interaction, every individual is just incredibly interesting. The moment they start to project and to cut off their real self, their real devotional self, that's when you get boring individuals, right? Because superficiality makes an individual boring. Right? You see it, the fake smile, right? You know, the fake smile is a smile that doesn't reach the eyes. So they're smiling here, and it's kind of like, it's more like a grimace, right? And as painful as it is for the person to smile like that, it's just as painful to have to be around such an individual. So it's very unfortunate if we create communities and cultures where people have to be fake. It's very unfortunate. This mood, it comes back to the right mood. Yeah. When we see a culture where people get recognition, a round of applause, sometimes it's a book marathon, someone distributed many books, they get a round of applause. You should understand these things maturely. What we're applauding is that the person did the best that they could. Do you understand? It's not the quantity. If you make it about the quantity, you'll have people who are running around trying to get so much external results at the point, even at the cost of integrity. And they won't last. So we're not trying in our communities to encourage superficiality, right? Or lack of authenticity. The way that you do it is to first model that yourself. Be real. And I'm not telling you to give your credit card details to the devotees sitting next to you. Right? Devotees are not all mature, and they're not all authentic, and they're not all well-intentioned. I'm sorry, that's the fact. They have some understanding of Krishna, right? But at different points, there's different levels of maturity. So it is the responsibility of the devotees to be sensible enough, mature enough, and responsible enough to find mature, loving Vaishnava association. But it doesn't stop there. In that mature, loving Vaishnava association, we should be comfortable, if they're qualified, mature, to reveal the mind and have that exchange of give and take. So we reveal the heart, but for the purposes of growing, exploring, developing as Vaishnavas. And that will make you incredibly powerful. That will make you incredibly powerful as a devotee. Because it's one of the easiest means that you become an integrated individual, a Vaishnava, a real Vaishnava, right? Able to speak from what you really feel within your heart, able to chant. Because when you're open, then the chanting goes deeper, right? When you're open, sincere, you're able to get more from the process. Why? Because you've adjusted your mood, huh? You've adjusted your mood. Part of that is vulnerability. Right? Vulnerability is also an expression of one's humility. We are dependent. You understand? We're not. If you see devotees strutting around like they're powerful, it means a person doesn't understand. It means you have not understood our philosophy. We are dependent. We're really dependent. Everyone's dependent. But the question of recognizing that and who we're dependent on, that's where we're different. We recognize that. In fact, we embrace it. Up to this present moment in time, your power, your strength, any realization, any development that you've had in Krishna consciousness has come as a direct result of recognizing how dependent you are on Krishna and on the association of devotees. Prabhupada will go to great lengths to explain that that dependence has a mood, right? Even in the chanting, what is it? The mood of a young child calling out for the mood of their mother, calling out for the love, the shelter, the protection. That's dependence. That's real dependence. So that is the eternal position of the living entity. And the more that we embrace that in a healthy and sincere, not stupid, by the way, blind way, but then in a healthy and a sincere way. The more you embrace that, the more your path back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. Because the path can be challenging. What we're really looking for is to be like the child who's being held by the parent, holding the hand, and walking them actually back home, back to Godhead. That's what we're looking for. That mood of dependence, vulnerability. Krishna, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to go, but at the same time, I'm going to try my 100% best. And I'm going to depend upon you to make it, to make everything work out. And he will. He will do that, right? He picks you up by your attitude. It really is like that. And that attitude is always being refined. Ultimately, we want an attitude of pure devotion. Yeah, that an attitude of pure devotion means that you accept that he loves you. That's actually what it means. You're not going to accept, you're not going to surrender to someone unless you believe that they have your best interests at heart. Right? You're not going to surrender to someone unless you feel that they're competent to lead you or to lead your life in a way that's superior to how you could do it if you were in control. There's the only two options. Either you let Krishna control or you're going to control it. Those are the only two options. So surrender is that mood. Right? That mood that Krishna, you know better than me, and I know that you've got my best interests at heart. Therefore, I surrender. Right? So again, it's an understanding that leads to an activity and a mood. You get the point? We're trying to do devotional service with the right mood. Because no one can bribe Krishna. Yes, we do so many activities. Yes. But we are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And you can't fake it. I remember there was a... I was told about a situation from one of my God family. So there'd been a marathon. And what had happened at the end of the marathon is they were reading out the book scores. And my spiritual master was glorifying all the devotees, right? They read out the book scores and got a round of applause, everything. Except the devotee who did the most books. Yeah. When it came to his score, which was read out last, it was like, okay, let's finish, move on. And he was upset. And he was acting as a personal servant to Bhakti Tirthamaraj. And so later on that evening, and my good brother told me this, and so my spiritual master said, I know you were upset this morning that, you know, everyone else was glorified and, you know, kind words were said and a round of applause, but when it came to your score, we didn't say anything. And he said, but you need to understand something. He said, these other devotees, they were doing their best. They didn't distribute as many books as you, but they were doing their best. That was a full effort. So they got full, you know, round of applause, everything. You distributed some books, but you could have done a lot more. Right? You could have done a lot more. So that wasn't your best. So they got the round of applause, but you didn't. You need to understand that. And I always think it's a very instructive lesson. Right? Because again, it speaks of this maturity. You can't artificially also play down the scale of things, right? Artificially playing down means that when we use it as an excuse to do nothing, right? When we use it as an excuse to sit on our backside and do nothing. Oh, it's not about the scale. No, it is about the scale if you're going to be lazy. Okay? He did 100 books. How many books did you do? Oh, I did 5, right? How long were you out? Tell the truth. Okay, I went out for 5 minutes. Okay, that's why you did 5 books, and that's what. So the point is, do your best, because that relates to the right attitude. If you really love someone, you will do your best for them. That's the point. So it's not scale, and it's not to minimize scale prematurely. It's to get to the essence of it. The essence is we're trying to develop a relationship with Krishna. Therefore, in every service you're doing, try to do your best, and please try to make sure the devotion is there first. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that you're going to bribe Krishna. I mean, I'll tell you honestly, sometimes devotees, they can do external things and the attitude stinks. It stinks. And there's some foolishness to think that somehow or other that you've got brownie points and you're going back to Godhead because of that. It means you really don't understand this philosophy. Huh? It doesn't work that way. Huh? Service done favorably. So activity done with a favorable mood for the pleasure of Krishna. And as we purify it, it should be more and more for Krishna without the mix. Okay? Without the mix of something for Krishna, something for me. 2 things for Krishna, 2 things for me. Okay, 5 things for Krishna, 3 things for me, because it's Janmashtami. Okay? It's not that kind of program. Right? You're trying to get to that kind of mood. Yeah? Why? Yayatma supersedati, because then you'll be satisfied. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why am I not feeling satisfied in Krishna consciousness? Right? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves a question. And if we really believe what is being stated by Srimad Bhagavatam, is this ahoituki apratiyata? Huh? Is my service, am I trying to improve the service so it's more unmotivated? Right? Am I trying to see that in any activity, how can I connect this to Krishna? How can I do it for his pleasure? Yayatma supersedati, in order to satisfy the self. That's the point. When we act from our real identity, then only can we be satisfied. There's no other. It's another feature of reality. See, if you want to be fake and artificial, you will never be happy in this world or outside of it. Satisfaction is an exclusive result of pure loving service to Krishna. So let's work on that together. The real self can only be nourished by a high Krishna conscious diet. And it doesn't matter what else you do, self-help, anything like that. It's not going to touch the soul. It's not going to touch the soul. Right? So if you want to have a life where you are fulfilled, it doesn't matter what other people think. It's between you and Krishna. If you want to have a life where you actually feel full, you feel full. Not that you have lots of things externally and you feel empty, which is what a lot of people in the material world do. But if you want to have a life where your cup, you feel full, and people can sense it, where you feel in, you wake up and feel, wow, I feel so charged, so full, so inspired. You're only going to get there by pure devotional service. Okay? That's the eternal function of the soul. That's what's going to do it. And that's what makes preaching really potent. Real preaching is meant to be you're so full in Krishna consciousness that it spills over into other people's consciousness. Real preaching is that you're so profound in your Krishna consciousness that people can just, it just hits them. Right? You carry Krishna so beautifully and so fully in your own heart that other people are experiencing Krishna by your association. Okay. Anyway, we'll stop there. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Janita Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.